coming up next. What is our next topic? Oh, anyone is...
like we don't know. Like the listeners don't know.
Well, you need
You've been wanting to get to this subject for
yes,
24 know, hours at least, I think.
You have to build it up. Mm-hmm. Stir it up for people.
Ooh.
So, you get it, Bob.
Oh, the standard is so going down.
Oh, come on. Let's see. Let's see if we can, you know, do an uptick in that regard. Mm-hmm. Anyone is for a refreshing glass of urine?
No.
Maybe not. Maybe not. Some people in China, though, are knocking back urine as a way to cure diseases and to keep healthy. They say it works like magic. Do you believe it? But more importantly, I like to know, like, are people actually doing this and what the experts say?
Oh, yeah. Though I'm not one of those experts, but I did the research. According to the People's Daily, this urine therapy is advocated by an association called the China Urine Therapy Association, which encourages its members to drink their own urine. Oh, luckily it's their own, not somewhere else. Suggesting it can cure everything from colds to cancer. The Ministry of Civil Affairs on Tuesday released an updated list of unlicensed social organizations on its official website, urging caution against their attempts to fraudulently collect funds. And ironically, this China Urine Therapy Association has been placed on that list. However, this association is still active on social networks. It has about 4,000 members who have been exchanging their urine therapy experience online daily since the organization was listed by the ministry.
So just experience, not actual urine being exchanged.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's what I've known. It's exchanging their experience.
Yeah, it's not exchanging their urine. Hopefully not. Anyway. Do you know what? Urine has played such a huge part of my life. I'm telling you now. Because
have you been participating in activities?
No, absolutely not. I mean, apart from people saying I'm full of it. But my grandmother, I know you like the stories about my grandmother in rural Wales. She was a midwife and a district nurse, and she was endlessly, it was one of those things where she used to gather it together, and you can tell by looking at it, there's like a little chart that you can get to find out whether people are dehydrated, or you can tell a lot just by looking at the colour of it. So it was everywhere. You know, I mean, the worrying thing is because sometimes she would make homebrew wine and she didn't always make a distinction in the larder between the homebrew wine on the one side and her little samples of urine from patients on the other side. So unless you really were very careful and stared at the label to make sure that you were going to get the same thing. Having said that, apparently it tastes the same. So...
Oh, my goodness.
But there are a lot of people who do it. I mean,
was that an alcoholic that provided the urine?
This is it, you see, because people say there's so much in it that if people who say that it's good for you say that it's an antibacterial and an antifungus, now that, I think, has been proved, but also because what happens is that any excess nutrients that you have in your body, that's where it goes. So, for example, the body can only take in so much vitamin C. If you take too much vitamin C, then it goes straight out. So it's not totally empty. I'm not advocating this because I think it's gross, to be honest.
Yeah, there are some, you know, extra nutrients that the body cannot digest, absorb, or whatever, take in. But there's also a whole bunch of toxins that your body can't take in, and your body's worked it out that it needs to be out of your system, and it is in your urine, and these people actually drink it so it comes back into your system, then
because
that can't be good.
It's an antibacterial, antifungus, so it's actually killing things off. So that's why it works.
Well, but urine is a kind of metabolic waste. It's something your body don't need anymore. That's why people need to pee to get the waste out. Why do people have to take that back?
Exactly.
Well,
that's
the argument
question.
Is that it's the same as using a weed killer, I suppose, because it's, if they say it's very good for the skin too. So
who's They're talking.
The people who, the voices
hogwash.
In my head.
These
are the people who say it.
Okay, so nobody should believe in what Bob has
said. Definitely
just
don't believe me. Both my parents were doctors, but that doesn't make me one.
Yeah, look,
strangely.
Like what he said earlier, it just doesn't really make sense. Sorry,
no, but
Bob.
You'd believe me if I told you, wouldn't you? If I said, it's very, very good for you. You know it's good for you. Take it. Drink it now.
Bob, what are you doing? Are you trying to mess up around on this topic?
Yes, I think that's effectively what he has done.
No, but it's important to say, both practitioners of Chinese medicine and Western medicine think it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. There's nothing to be gained.
Okay, so if we make that point, and we have, but why do people still believe in these slightly off or ridiculous claims of sort of like folk remedy, if I can categorize urine therapy into that? So that's the part I don't understand. Why would people buy this?
Well, in this case first, and the association claimed it is a non-profit organization. It make itself sounds like a charity organization. And it happens to sell a kind of fruit flavored product,
which can be mixed with the
urine to make it less pungent and easier to consume. And but this kind of association is not reliable, and according to journalists from People's Daily, they discover that this association is registered in Hong Kong only as an unlimited company and has neither corporate capacity nor government accreditation. And actually, most of this kind of organizations are registered overseas or outside the Chinese mainland, but they are funded by Chinese mainland residents. That's according to...
And this is the serious bit, isn't it? Because a lot of these associations that maybe put forward these crazy ideas, they try to make themselves look official, or they pick a name which is either very similar to an organization which is respected, which is actually quite frightening, I think, in this case. And again, I guess it always comes down to regulation, doesn't it, and laws, that I assume there are regulations in place that stop this kind of thing happening. Maybe not, because obviously these organizations get through.
Yes, and they are at the same time they are trying many kind of ways to make them sound appear authoritative, and their appearance is deceptive in some way. And sometimes they hold activities in very fabulous place, like the Great Hall of People.
Wow.
Yeah, like Diao Yu Tai State Guest House or CPP Auditorium. So that's quite deceptive in some way, and people believe this kind of organization is authoritative and supported by the government.
Yeah, that's the part that I think, again, I want to at first praise our Chinese citizens and later on sort of just gently say, put out the word that you need to be more critical. Number one, well, first I want to say is the Chinese government is so extremely fortunate to have such extremely good people as its ruling subjects, as its citizens, as anything the government says. Or most of the stuff. I think people just wholeheartedly take it in, or you have a lot of trust in the government. Whatever that has been, association that has the names like China or National or some of those grandiose
state or Chinese,
those words attached to it, then we simply just, at first glance, we will trust it.
Mm-hmm.
That is how Chinese people's minds work. And often when you look at these associations, organizations, whatever they call themselves, when they're registered offshore, then they're not subject to
domestic law.
Yeah, or scrutiny in that regard. And you cannot blindly fall for such things. And I think most importantly is, and that is, I think, one of the ultimate messages we sent out on this show every day, or with the very existence of our show, is to tell people there's always at least two sides of one story, and there's always at least two sides of the argument, and you need to critically look at this And it is so needed in everyday life.
Yes, that's why information disclosure is important, so that people can very conveniently to check whether this organization is legally registered or not on Chinese mainland. And transparency here is very essential. And also, what brings the things worse is that maybe some people doubt the therapy first. And will I try it or not? Will it be effective? But there are some, this kind of so-called authoritative or experts or officials are invited to the activities of this kind of organizations. And people that give some people a reason to believe this kind of stupid therapy. And, you know, the experts and officials invited to promote the idea of the organization, they themselves maybe are not able to tell whether the organization is legally registered or not. Maybe some of them just take a large amount of money from the organization, and
that's
they get paid to do the promotion.
But, I mean, the thing about this therapy is, potentially, it's free. Oh, by the way, you know that cup of tea I brought you earlier?
Okay, Bob, you've ruined beer for me, you've ruined tea for me, and you've ruined my trust in you
in the last three minutes. Enjoy your days off.
Oh, Bob, I thought we were friends. I thought we were friends.
Yeah, it was good stuff.
Now I don't know whether it is or not. You're listening to Roundtable.